Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. We are 5 lines from the top of the Rebbe Savar. So we mentioned that Rabbi Yehuda seemingly learned out Oel Oel Mimishkan, that therefore Rabbi Yehuda was learning that only if it's something Bidei Adam is it going to be subject to the Tumas Ohel. So it's going to have the Tumah of Ohel. However, something that would be Bidei Shemayim would not be subject to the Tumah of Ohel. So the Gemara right now is going to ask the seeming contradiction B'shitas Rabbi Yehuda. It says Gemara, V'savar Rabbi Yehuda kol Ohel she'ino asa Bidei Adam eino Ohel. Is it really true? Rabbi Yehuda holds that any Ohel that was not man-made is and it was naturally made is going to not be a protection against Tumah and not have this dinam of dina Tumas Ohel, Bithul Chumra and Akula. That way, if something is under the same Ohel, so then it's going to have the Tumah of Ohel is going to transmit Tumah and also protect. If it's above that Ohel, then it's not, it's going to it's be a barrier between that and the Tumah. So it's both the Chumra and the Kula, but that's the halachas Rabbi Yehuda is seemingly learning. So the Gemara asks, Ramina, we have a stira with another Mishnah in Ohelos. The Mishnah in Ohelos, this is the Mishnah in, Mishnah in Parah. The Mishnah in Parah describes that there was chatziris hayu benos b'shalayim. There were courtyards built in Yerushalayim al gabe asela on top of straight bedrock. That Rashi points out that it was untouched since the time of Adam HaRishon, since the time of creation, and therefore we most likely in that area are not going to have any tumas meis. V'stachteyam chalal, and beneath them there was a hollow area underneath. And they made the, and they raised the platform atop above the ground and supported it by arches on top of this bedrock. Why? They kever at the home because we are concerned of a tuma. We're afraid of the kever of a grave of tuma, of hidden tuma that was deep underneath the ground. And even though they used this area that specifically wasn't used, so lechora nobody's buried there, we're going to be concerned from this small minute chance that there might be this hidden tuma that we're unaware of. So that is the reason that they do this. And ensure that would be an area that would not be subject to tuma. They also built it above a tefach, and therefore they would protect against the tuma. So the Gemara says, so the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, "Mendekev atoma vien nashim ubros v'yoldos sham." So they would bring women who are pregnant, and they would give birth there. Megdalos b'neim sham lepar. And there they would use those children as for the service of Parah Aduma. What in the world is going on over here? So basically, the Mefarshim explain that this Mishnah is discussing of the Parah Aduma. We think about Parah Aduma, the sprinkling of the Parah Aduma, that we don't have it, we're missing it, and we need the Parah Aduma in order to be mentar ourselves. So this was done, I think the Mishnah lists 8 or 10 only Parah Adumas that were done from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until the time of Chorban Abayis. There's only 8 Parah Adumas, because from all those ashes, you need a drop of those ashes for every single person that you'd be using. So it's more than enough to last you for all of Klal Yisrael for many, many, many years. So the process of doing the Parah Aduma required that the person has to be tahor. So now there was one thing that there was a big machlokas between the tzedukim and the perushim. The tzedukim were the ones who denied the Torah Shabal Peh, and they said that the pesukim over there that describes ve'asaf ish tahor, I believe, is the lashon of the pasuk, that a person who prepared the parah duma has to be fully tahor. That's the pashut shot of the pesukim. However, Torah Shabal Peh tells us that the pasuk that even a tful yom, someone who went to the mikveh that day but is not going to be fully tahor until nightfall. So let's say a person has tumas shechvazera, something coming out of his body, and therefore tumas if he touches the sheretz, so he's called a tful yom. If he goes to the mikveh that morning right after he touches the sheretz, he's not going to be tahor until that night. So the Chazal learned out from Torah Shabal Peh. They learned out from Torah Shabal Peh that this person is also kosher. So in order to publicly show and shtach the tzedukim who held it specifically has to be someone who's Torah, Chazal would go out of their way. The Perushim would go out of their way to specifically have someone who was a tvul yom. Now, in order to counterbalance that with the fact that that's a major kula, and people will start maybe taking the attitude of Parah Duma is not so serious, and you don't have to be so tahor with regards to other Tumah Vitara purposes. So the Rabbanan instituted in a major chumra that basically someone had to be totally tahor in Tumas Meis in preparing, the person who's preparing these Parah Duma had to be totally tahor. So they would have a woman who would raise their children basically out of contact of sight of anyone for 8 years. We're going to see, really, Tosus point out, it has to be 7 or 8 years, because already when they're 9 years old, based on Rashi over here tells us about it, Tosus over here mentioned it, that when already from the time of 9 years old, we're afraid that they can be Tamei through Tumas Shechvazera, through a seminal mission. So it has to be someone below that age for those 7, 8 years to be raised in this specific area to avoid fully coming into contact with anyone who's Tamei Meis. And Tosus point out, though, that L'chora over here also, they could be Tamei through the fact that they were the woman, their mothers were nidas when they gave birth to them, But those who point out that we're just trying to be as much machmir as we can be with regards to tumas mace. And Nechanami, other tumas maybe we try to avoid, but if you can't avoid them, there's nothing you can do. They still had this tremendous chumrah. I remember when I was reading the Mishnayos and Olos, I forgot who, but some unfortunately want to explain that no, this wasn't necessarily done during the time of preparing the Parah Aduma, but some wanted to explain that maybe this is all reference to the time of Bayis Sheni. Everyone was Tamei Midrabanan because they went to Chutz Laaretz, so they didn't have anyone who's not Tamei Meis, and therefore maybe this was done in the beginning of Bayis Sheni. This is the extraordinary Mesiris Nefesh was to prepare that people should be Tohar in order to prepare the Tumah. L'chor, this explanation is a little difficult because, as Tosafot point out, it says that Vasaf Ish Tohar, that certain parts had to be done by a Gadol who's above the age of 13. So how could that be? Okay, that's a little bit of kasha on those who explain the Mishnah in that way. But either way, this is what's done. We see the Mesiris Nefesh that was done for the Parah Aduma, that they would have to raise their children in such a remote area for the 7-8 years. I was just in Shiloh yesterday. It reminded me of telling about Mesiris Nefesh. And you see that, I was in Shiloh yesterday seeing how people are mamish, the mitnachlim, and living in Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Mahajan, mamish in areas that are surrounded by Arabs, living on hilltops that are totally remote, in order to try to be to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. People are still Moshe Nefesh like that also, living in remote areas, a different purpose, not for Tumah V'Tahara purposes, the purpose of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. People are mamash Moshe Nefesh for different mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael. So anyway, so what was going on in the Mishnah? Back to the Mishnah over there. So Megalos Baneim Sham Lepar, they would raise their children for the Parah Duma, Umevein Shvarim, and they would bring ox over there. So why would they bring these ox? They would have the doors on their backs. And the children would sit on top of them. The door would serve as an oel to block any potential tumas mace. Even if we had this crazy area, we have no tumay mace there, but they would use this ox and on top of it a door to block it. That would be an oel that's mechotzeitz b'pnei atuma also. And they would have cups of stone in their hands because one of the things that was mentioned, that the cups of stone are not going to be susceptible to tumah, so they would use these cups again, extremely machmir, and they would go to the shiluach spring, and from there they would draw the water, and again the shiluach, they would draw the water from the spring of the shiluach, which is right in Ir David. They know where the shiluach is. They found unbelievable the very kedai, anyone who hasn't been there, to see the way. First of all, they've expanded it like crazy, so most of you, fortunately, most people have not been to Eretz Yisrael in 2.5 years, those who live in America, because you haven't been able to be here. So they've done a lot of, they found new things in the Ir David, the mamish amazing things from Tanakh. Anyway, so the Maris Chizkiyahu HaMelech is really in the time of in the Shiloach. I went to Erev Kippur one year to the mikvah of the Shiloach, because there's sources of Chazal that's not just Stam where the Kohen Gadol before preparing himself for Erev Kippur, but also just the Maimon Chazal that seems to imply that it's like the holiest mikvah. So either way, they would go to this mikvah of the Shiloach, and they would draw the water from that spring for the sprinkle of the Parah Aduma. Yardu Letzoch HaMayim HaMilum, and the children would go into the water and fill up the cups. Now, normally, they're going to be exposed over here, potential kevrat tahoma. We're trying to avoid as much as possible. Deep underneath the ground, there could be some sort of mace that we don't know about, but there's nothing there you could do. According to this Tana, you're not allowed to use a string and a rope and draw the water, so you have to go down physically, so there's nothing you could do. They were stuck doing this. As we're about to mention, Rabbi Yossi is going to disagree. Then they would go up, and they would seat themselves on the doors, and then go back to the Har Bayis, to the area near where they would do it on Har Zesim, and go and do the Parah Aduma. However, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi, from the place on top of the doors, he would lower his cup with the rope and he would go to the spring and fill it up. And they kevrat tahom out of concern for a kevrat tahom. So Rabbi Yossi apparently held that it is valid if you're going to use a rope and draw it from that. So therefore, you should avoid the kevrat tahom, the chashash. Now, Tanakam would agree with Rabbi Yossi, but they hold it's possible to draw the water with the rope at that point. You have to draw it physically with your hands. V'tanya. And we learn of Raisa with on this topic. Rabbi Yehuda said they would not bring doors to transport the children. Rather, shvarim, they would bring wide ox. They would bring ox who are very wide, and therefore the backs of these ox would be able to be chosid b'nei all because they're very wide, and they would stop any tumah from going underneath. So we see over here now the Gemara fleshes out the question. Now clearly ox are not made by humans, contrary to what people are trying to do nowadays to try to clone sheep or whatever it is, but either way, they're not made by humans. Victania, and the Braisa says, "Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yamivin tlasos eloshvarim." They would not bring doors to transmit the children, rather to transport the children. Rather, would bring ox. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda is telling us over here, seemingly a stira, because he tells us that even a natural oil is chotzit me'atuma. As we mentioned in the beginning, that the Gemara is assuming that when dealing with transmitting tuma, as Rabbi Yehuda had mentioned, that when it comes to a tuma of transmitting tuma from that to something else, Rabbi Yehuda told us naturally things would not transmit. And over here, Rabbi Yehuda is discussing discussing opposite. Here is talking about transmitting tumah, and it would be a chatzitza from transmitting tumah. And Rabbi Yehuda and Parah was telling us of blocking tumah. So the Gemara, is assuming they're the same. And usually we've seen precedent for that based on the Gemara talking about al tefach. It's that whenever it's going to be chotzeit, whenever it's going to divide an awal, it's also going to transmit tumah under the same area. So lechor, that's a valid comparison between Rabbi Yehuda and the Gemara is saying outright that it's man made, and yet it's going to be. It's going to be chotzeit mnei tumah, so lechora it's also going to transmit tumah if you're under the same oil of an ox. So the Gemara says, how are we going to answer for Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara says, ki aser Avdimi amar Rabbi Elazar. Avdimi came from Baal HaTar Tisrael. He said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Moda Rabbi Yehuda kimo agro. Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree in the case where you have a naturally formed thing which is as large as a shear of a fist, that is going to, Rashi says, it's a big fist, the shear of Ben of Tiach, his fist, that's going to be an oel with regard, that's going to be an oel of inyan tuma, and it's going to, that thing is so big, it's going to, even if it's naturally formed, we're going to show that that would make sense. The Gemara says, now, Tanim Ali, we have a proof of this in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Umoda Rabbi Yehuda, b'shkifin v'niknikei asfalai. Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree with you have these cases of uprooted boulders and these rock holes, that these things are going to be, even though they're naturally formed, they're going to be an oel lechor, because they're malo egrof, they're naturally formed, they're the size of an egrof. Tosos is just bothered by it. Tosos says, what do you mean? Why you bring a brisa? The Mishnah in Olas Parak Gimel Mishnah Zayin says explicitly, says Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Olas Sheina Asa B'Di Adam Eino Olam Moda B'Shkifin Oslaim, and he agrees to this case of Shkifin Oslaim. Why do you have to quote the brisa? Those are very bothered by that. They say, okay, whatever. We're quoting the brisa also. Usually, when you have a Beferish Mishnah and you have a brisa, you should go with the Mishnah. Okay, but either way, so that's the answer that we bring from Yehuda with regards to a tefach. So that's what we're answering now for Rabbi Yehuda. Just one point on this whole story of the Kever Tehom. There's a Magen Avraham quotes of the Maaser Rokeach with regards to an Eishes Kohen, a woman who's a Kohen who's pregnant. We know that a Kohen is not allowed to be Metame Lemis. Mm-hmm. So there's a Shaila. What about a woman who's pregnant? Can she go into a cemetery? So that's the Magen Avraham is dealing with the Shaila, and he quotes, I think it's from the Maaser Rokeach, that there's a Shaila of regards to, he says that there's a Sveik Sveika. There's a Sveik Sveika that one, maybe it's a male, maybe it's a female. Female aren't Nizar on the Tumas Mace. And the second one is that, forgot the second Sufik, but there's another Sufik of whether or not it's going to be Sufik Nefil, maybe, that the person might not be born whole. Either way, so he calls it, I forgot the second Sufik, but there's Sveik Sveika. So Magen Avraham is bothered by, why do you have to even get into this? It's Tuma Blua, it's covered up Tuma, and if it's totally covered by the woman's body, meaning she's totally covered by it, so then Lechora, that would not be an issue. So the Achronim want to bring a Raya from this story of the mission over here, like the Magen Avraham, because it says that the woman who are pregnant would go live there. So it doesn't say that the woman are pregnant. What about the Shaila of the woman who are pregnant being Machmer and all these Chumras of the children? It only says when the children are born, they'd be Machmer and all these things about Tuma Vitara. Maybe when the women are pregnant, before they were allowed to walk around. Now, if there was an issue of them walking around, beforehand, lechora, it would be a problem of a tumah. So it says the achrona. Maybe this arrived for the Magen Avraham that tumah blua is not an issue. That's why they weren't bothered by the woman who are pregnant. Okay, that's a very interesting shaila. It is a shaila alach lemaisa that especially now sfeik ashef shalavara. You can check nowadays. You can figure it out. You see if you're having a boy or a girl. Okay, that's a very big thing. A very interesting thing. Now, either way, that's what we're up to now. In regards to the brace, so we just brought Raya from Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara has a question with Rabbi Yehuda with regards to ox. We still have a question of Ahare Delash Yesh Bakame Grofin. Now wait a second. A case of a door that definitely has a shear of many fists shear. That's definitely the shear. It's definitely big enough. So then Bektani, the brace tells us Rabbi Yehuda Omer Loyam Ivin Glosses Elish Farm. They wouldn't bring doors, but they would bring ox. But now Lachora, the Gemara's understanding right now, the Rabbi Yehuda's understanding, they would specifically not use the doors because maybe the doors wouldn't protect Mitzad the Tuma. They would use these ox instead, which are wider. But lechora, these doors are more than a tefach, and even though they're naturally made, lechora Rabbi Yehuda should say that they're not a problem. Lechora, they would be bechotzit b'nei olam. They should be good, and you should use it. It's mo egro for sure. It's not a problem, and lechora Rabbi Yehuda should hold that it's not a problem. So the Gemara answers no. Amar Abai lo hutzrich leftosas. Abai answers that Rabbi Yehuda says that in a chanami it would work if they use the doors, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying that they don't need to use the doors because these wide ox are able to prevent the tumah from going, for prevent the tumah sa'olel. They'd be a chatita, so it'd be their own olel. So therefore, you're right. You're allowed to use the ox. You don't have to use the doors. And if you use the doors, it's also good, according to the Gemara right now. So the Gemara says another answer. Rava Amar, lo ayum mevien losos kalikar. Rava says, no, maybe Rabbi Yehuda says specifically they should not use the doors. But wait a second, why not? The doors lechora are not a problem, as we just mentioned. So the Gemara says, because shimnei shadaito shaltinok gasala, but tinok is literally gasa, is like haughty. Here, what does it mean? It's haughty. Rashi says that if you're using the doors, Rashi says that he feels very secure. So therefore he's going to stick his head out, start looking around, what's going on. And he's going to stick his head out more, and then that, and it's not going to have the, you're not going to have the protection anymore of the ol, because once he sticks his head out, if there's a body buried very deep in the ground, that would be ol adarakia, and it would make the child tame. However, if he's on this ox without these glossos, so much more, he feels much less secure, and therefore he's not going to stick his head up because he's going to be holding on for dear life to make sure he doesn't fall, and therefore he's not going to get injured. So Shem Yotzi Yosher V'Chana Rav Aram V'Tameh. That's what the Gemara is mentioning, that if he feels secure, then he's going to stick his head out and he's going to become tameh. However, just finishing the sentence, that there's a grave there, as we just mentioned. However, if he's locked onto the oxen without the door, he's going to feel much less secure. Then it makes more sense that he would not stick his head out. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda suggests, as an Eitz HaTovah, don't use the doors. Now the Gemara says, Tana Kavasi to Rava. We have a brace supporting Rava. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Loya Mevin Lasas Kolikar. Rabbi Yehuda says specifically, they would not bring any doors to transport the children. Why? Because the children are going to feel very secure when they're there. And he's going to stick his head out, or any of his limbs or his body or his feet, whatever it might be, and they're going to stick out, and then they're going to be tummy from the grave that's very deep buried in the ground. So what would they do? They would bring the Egyptian ox, who has very big stomachs, and the children would sit on them, the backs of these ox. The coast of Shalav and Beden, and they have the cups of stone, Agil Shiloh, they would get to the Shiloh spring. Yardu Miluam, the children would go down there and fill up the cups. Ve'alu V'yashuleh Nagabe, and they would go up and they would seat themselves on the ox and then go from there to the near the Harbayas, to the area of Arzasim and Harbayas to take care of the process of the Para Aduma. So we see over here that Rabbi Lazar has defended Rabbi Yehuda that it is naturally formed would be fine. The Gemara says, "Right, meet the Yishba Kamei Agrofim." But wait a second, with regards to a bed, it's also very big, and a bed is very big. Vitznan, and we learn in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Nahar Rabbi Yehuda Omer Noagin Ainu Shainu Yishinim Tachas Amidim Nezakinim," that we'd sleep under the bed. Of the sukkah, and they wouldn't say anything. So apparently, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't regard the bed as an ol of the area underneath. So l'chora, because it is an ol that's just not a good ol, the Gemara is assuming right now. And now, if Rabbi Yehuda, if Rabbi Lazar is right, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there's a full fledged ol, even to one that's a problem. That's a problem. But once it's mol egro for bigger, then the bed should be considered an ol, and you should have a chatzitza. The Gemara is assuming right now that there would the same halacha of ol with regards to tumah would be the same halacha with ol with regards to sukkah. And with regards to sukkah, we know that a sukkah is going to be problematic to sleep under an ohel within an ohel of a sukkah. So the Gemara answers no, because shiny mita ohel gabas, a bed is going to be different. Rabbi Yehuda allows you to sleep under the bed because it's meant for usage of the top. Therefore, the bottom, with regards to this halacha specifically, with regards to the sukkah, even though normally the halachas might be different, but here there's no purpose of using the area under a bed, and since there's no purpose of using an area under the bed, therefore we really view the main purpose of a bed is for what's above it. And Rashi points out that we learn in Bava Metzia also that a person is not supposed to put things under his bed, often for usage and storage, because it's not sanua for him to put things under his bed. And there's also another area, the Gemara says also Ruach Ra, I think it's a Gemara, that comes up, that you're also not supposed to put food or drink under your, maybe not a Gemara, but I don't remember the Gemara right now, but it definitely was brought up that a person's not supposed to put other things under his bed either, so the L'chora bed is not used for the area underneath, just his shoes are supposed to put there, nothing else. So the Gemara says, wait a second though. Shvar nami legabanasim, but also ox are meant for the use of the top. And in the terms of in the case of the ox, people use the ox riding on top of them. So then, lechora, why is there din any different? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that an ox is going to be an ol that is chotetz? Whereas over here, he says that since you don't know the area below, so we are making. We're assuming again. We're comparing the lachas of sukkah back to the lachas of the Tumah Vitara with regards to Ohel. So the Gemara says, Ki asa Ravin Amar Rabbi Lazar. So Ravin came from Babel Teretz Yisrael. He said in the name of Rabbi Lazar, Shani Shvarim, that ox are going to be different. Ho'il umaginim ala ro'im. Since they are going to be able to protect the shepherds, Becham bnei achama, when it's sunny and they want some shade, they'll sit under the ox. Or Begisham bnei agisham, when it's raining, they don't have an umbrella, so they'll use the protect themselves of the rain with the ox. So we see that ox are often used enough for the area underneath them, as opposed to a bed, which is almost never used for the area underneath it. So therefore, we don't consider the area below an area that's going to be chashiv, and we don't consider an ol that's chutzit. The Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case with regards to an ox that's going to be considered an ol because the shepherds are using the area underneath, mitanami, a bed also should be considered an ol. We just mentioned there are things that you use it for. Not you don't put anything. Before a person lies down, a person will put his shoes in other areas. Again, we mentioned you don't use other things, but you will use your sandals and other shoes that you might be sitting on. So the Gemara says, Elamar Rava, so therefore we reject this answer. And Rava gives a different answer. Shani Shfarim, acts are fundamentally different than a bed in the case of Sukkah. Why? Ha'wil v'asuyim lahagin al b'nimayim shalahem. What is the purpose of the ox? It's protecting their stomachs. The purpose of a body is to protect your stomach, as the Pasuk says, Shemar, or Ubasar Talbisheni Vatama Sugidim Tisochecheni. With the skin and flesh you have clothed me, and with bones in my inside, my stomach, in the sinews, you have protected me. So the Gemara is saying right now that we're saying that the area of a person's stomach is protecting him. So even though it's referring to the human body, we can make the same tushtel, the comparison to an animal as well, Tosus point out, even because it's similar with regards to the lach of Ohel. So we see that fundamentally there's a difference between an ox and Ohel that Rabbi Yehuda was discussing with regards to the bed. Now the Gemara says, V'ibayis ima, or you could give another answer for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, the time Rabbi Yehuda is going to following his own shita that we've seen earlier. Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Beis told us, Amar sukkah diras kevabinan, you need a permanent sukkah, as we explained. Rabbi Yehuda allows a sukkah that's above 20 amos. Why? Because, as we mentioned, the reason over there in the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda says that it's above 20 amos is permanent, below 20 amos is not, and you're supposed to have a permanent dwelling in your sukkah, so therefore above 20 amos is totally fine. So therefore, havelei mitas diras arai. So then using a bed, which is normally something that is moved from place to place, it's clearly not going to be something that's permanent, is considered an arai. V'sukkah ol keva. And a sukkah is a permanent structure, more permanent structure of an ohel. V'lasi ohel arai, v'vatal ohel keva. The law is that a temporary dwelling, contemporary Ohel, is not going to come and nullify a fixed dwelling. That's the Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush over here, is that point. Now, Chachamim are apparently going to disagree. They're going to hold that maybe a small Ohel can come and be mevatel the other area, or the Chachamim hold that no, you need an Ohel Arai. You'll have an Ohel Arai and Ohel Arai. Ohel Arai is mevatel on Ohel Arai. There's two approaches how to explain why the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. We're about to see Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Shimon agreed. Fundamentally, Rabbi Shimon held that Nami Yisuk Rabbi Shimon told us that you require four walls rather than three, and the Gemara says because he requires diras keva, he requires a permanent structure for sukkah. So he requires a permanent structure. Yet he says asi al arayim vatal al keva. Rabbi Shimon was the one who brought the case of Rabbi Gamliel's slave Tavi, who was the one who said that you should not be sleeping under the sukkah. L'chor Rabbi Shimon is agreeing to that. He's bringing that statement as a proof that you should not be sleeping under the sukkah. So Rabbi Shimon holds that you require a fixed dwelling for your sukkah. Yet he's telling you a permanent structure. Yet he's telling you that you are not able to sleep under the bed. So why is he arguing under Rabbi Yehuda? So Mark the Mar says, right, that's actually a goof of what they're arguing about. So the Gemara says, in Baha Pligi, this is the Machlokas, says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda are going to disagree over this very point. Rabbi Shimon holds that a temporary structure can come in the Vatel, even though it's a permanent structure. You're not able to go under the area of the bed, even though it's a temporary structure. And Rabbi Yehuda is coming to disagree over this very point. Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree and say, Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that a temporary structure is not able to come and nullify a permanent structure. Now the Gemara says, the last part of our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said, "Betavi avto." This is the story of Rabbi Tavi, and he said, "Tavi." And we learned from here, Rabbi Shimon pointed out that we learned from here that an Eved is not going to be chayv sukkah, and also that he was making room for the other chachamim. The Gemara says, "Tanya." We learned in Rabbi Isa, fleshing out the Mishnah a little bit more. Rabbi Shimon, "Nesichasu shabem angamiel." From his sichas, usually a reference to just his casual conversation. We learn out, Lamana Shadram, we learn out two alachas, Lamana Shavarim Turma Sukkah, we know Evan, because Mitzah Sashis Ramah is Pater from Sukkah, and Lamana Shay Yashin Takasamita, Leotu de Chavasa, someone who sleeps under a Sukkah, of a bed within a Sukkah, has also not fulfilled his obligation. So the Gemara says, why are we learning Malema Midvar Shangana? Why say Sichasa? Sichasa sounds like you're just having a casual conversation, and he wasn't saying any Chiddush, as opposed to, with regards to the halacha of saying it, that he's just simply telling us a black and white halacha. So the Gemara says, no, Milzak Avarach HaKamash Manav. Shimon is teaching you something else. Just as a side point, he's teaching you another point that Kihadim Rav Acha Bar Ada taught us. Some say it was Amar Rav Acha Bar Ada Amar Rav Hamnuna Amar Rav in the name of Rav. Minayin Shafilo Sichas Tamin Chalam Mitzri Chalimid. How do we know that you should analyze even a casual conversation of a Talmud Chacham, that everything that he does, even a casual conversation, you could learn so much from him. Baruch Hashem had this chus of having meals and being with Rav Neventzel, and many times where he's seemingly having a casual conversation, there's so many deep things that Rav Neventzel Shlita is saying, even just the casual conversations that he has, there's so much to learn. So many halachas, so many different things that I've picked up from Rav Neventzel, so you see that. So what the Gemara says, how do we know this? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'aleihu lo yibol. The Pasuk in Tehillim is telling us that in reference to a person who fears Hashem, the Torah is compared to a tree planted near a stream, which is having fruit fruit in the season, and also the leaves aren't withering. The leaves aren't withering. That's the last part we're mentioning over here. Now, what was mentioned that the leaves aren't withering? We're learning out from here that even a Torah, seemingly the things that are just casual, are not withering out. They contain very deep lessons, and you shouldn't just ignore them. Very deep things. A person should always listen to every word of Shechter Shlita also. See, just it's normal casual conversations. You learn so much about different midos, different hanhagas, different anava, different yerushamayim, different chesed that a person can pick up from listening to even a conversation of a big Talmud Chacham and a big Tanik. Hasomech sukasa bikarei bita. Someone who is using his sukkah, is using these bedposts to hold up his sukkah. Kshira, then the sukkah is going to be kosher. That is the sheet of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imeni Yochel Amor B'Tnei Atzpapsula. Rabbi Yehuda says that if it can't stand on its own right, it's going to be puzzled. Why? The Gemara is about to mention right now. So the Gemara is about my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you can't use the bedpost for the schach? So the Gemara, two understandings. Pligi Rabbi Rabzir Rabbi Abba Varmama. Rabzir Rabbi Arma disagree. That's Chadam Rabbi Neshe in La Keva. This isn't going to be a fixed thing. It's not permanent. Your bed is moved from place to place. So the sukkah is all right. We mentioned Rabbi Yehuda Lashitasa holds you need something Keva. And therefore, that's a problem over here. And the Gemara, the other Mandamar says, Rabbi Chadam, the other Mandamar says, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's possible because Neshama Mida B'davar Mekabel Tumah, because it holds up the schach, something that's susceptible to Tumah, and this is called Davar HaMaimid, a wooden bed that's susceptible to Tumah, and therefore using it as Davar HaMaimid, holding it up, is going to be a problem for supporting the schach, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says it's going to be possible. So the Gemara says, "Ma'bnai, what's the nafka mina? Is there a difference between them? A halachic difference?" So the Gemara, yes, there is. Kigon shenat shkudin shabarza. What if you use spikes of iron? If you use iron spikes, you use basically a frame of all metal. And put the schach on top of them. So the Gemara says, "Man damar the fi shein lakeva." According to the one who says that it's not fixed in harei yesh lakeva, then it's going to be this is going to be fixed. So therefore, it's going to be kosher, and therefore this should be fine. "Man damar neishem midah b'davar mekabel tuma." The one who says that using a davar maimin something is going to be susceptible to tuma is a problem. "Harei midah b'davar mekabel tuma." So therefore, we hold over here the schach is going to be using something that's susceptible to tuma. So this is the Gemara. Abaye said, "Lo shenu elas smach." The Mishnah is referring only to a case where one is using support to the schach for the bedpost. Of alsikas agabi amita, if some simply spread schach over the bed so that the boards of the bed are forming the walls, so then kshir, Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that it's kosher. Why? Says the Gemara, my time. What is the reason Rabbi Yehuda would agree that this case is going to be kosher? Lima and damar lefisha in la keva, according to the one who says that Rabbi Yehuda invalidates the sukkah because it's not considered keva, rishla keva, then it's still full. The whole issue was using a davar maimin that is going to be susceptible to tumah. Hare ein mamina b'davar makabel tumah. You're not using that susceptible to tumah because these frames are not going to be susceptible to tumah. They're not a kli. Therefore, there's not an issue of susceptible to tumah. So the Gemara says, So that therefore we're explaining that Rabbi Yehuda would hold, according to both explanations, that Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally hold that these are kosher. Okay, we'll pick up with let's just read the Mishnah because we're a little bit ahead of time. So and then we'll get focus more on Chavez. The Mishnah tells us now, sukkah hamudavdalis. If you have a sukkah hamudavdalis, the Gemara is going to define what this means. Veshitzilatza meruba mechamasa, or shade exceeded sunlight, kshira. That is going to be kosher, even though it has many patches of sunlight, it's still going to be kosher. Mubar kamin bias, another halacha. The sukkah is covered very thick, like a house. Even though you cannot see the stars, even though the sukkah is so thick, it looks like a regular house, still the sukkah is going to be kosher. The Gemara is going to discuss both of these halachas. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with the Gemara's understanding of Maimon Vidal, Be'ez Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.